we started last year with our reconciliation programs under our Great Lakes Peace Dialogues program. And we started in Rwanda because, as many of our listeners would know, after the 1994 genocide, there are many still underlying tensions between ethnic communities in the country. And the need for a forum to discuss issues and tensions is still very much needed. And we're an independent think tank that carries out that work. So last year we had the Kubuka seminar series titled Understanding the Journey of Rebuilding Rwanda, Rebirth and Resilience, brought people in Kigali together to discuss issues of reconciliation, restorative justice, such as the Gacaca system and the work that the government is doing, and also the life of genocide survivors and how they're contributing to the development of the country. So this was three separate seminars, which we had a very good turnout to discuss. And it's between the different communities in Rwanda. And anyone was free to come along. We had people from diverse backgrounds presenting. It was a focus on personal testimonies to share with the audience, and many of the audience were themselves survivors. And we had many university students, people from the government, people from NGO sector, a broad cross-section of people, and we had panels who discussed the issues affecting Rwanda and the way forward. But it was quite an intense and emotional, as you can imagine, sessions, but we think it was very positive as well.
What kind of steps do you, as an independent think tank, running such intense and heated workshops and seminars on reconciliation, on trust, on justice, what kind of steps do you take to ensure that all voices are heard?
We do try to encourage a plurality of opinions and views in our seminars and ask a broad cross-section of people to attend. These seminars were in Kigali, and we did invite survivor communities and other people from perpetrator communities who were willing to speak out and to share their views. So on the panel, one panel was especially moving because it had someone who was a survivor and someone who was from the perpetrator community but wanted to speak about the guilt and the living with the guilt and the wanting to be part of reconciliation and rebuilding Rwanda. And they actually sat together on the panel. And I think that was very uplifting for the audience and everyone involved because it showed the people wanting to make positive steps forward and coming together and uniting. So, yes, we do make a big effort to have it inclusive, to have a plurality of opinions.
Do you have people that question being labelled as being part of the perpetrator community? Do they then, if they are already branded as the perpetrator community, would they come to a seminar in which they have already been assigned a role?
Yes, people generally, because it's a small society, we've found people know who's part of whose community and who's done what. So it's not really as such a secret about who's committed what. It's often very much known. So some people are willing to come forward and admit what they've done and admit that they have relatives or are connected with what happened, but they are willing to speak about it and they identify themselves with it. And that's been a big process with of course, the Gacaca process, people coming forth and sharing the truth. And then moving forward, trying to move forward from that, the forgiveness from other side. And there's quite a few initiatives to try to get the communities to come together and share their stories and be open and then have this forgiveness come through.
We're dealing with the genocide and the survivors of genocide, perpetrators of genocide, which means the genocide was learning from EPO 1994 to a period of 100 days. So we just dealing with that particular period, we are only starting. What we have done so far is bringing the people we can approach, I mean, from communities of survivors of genocide, communities, and the people willing to talk.
Now, you are a think tank, Sabrina. What kind of issues will you be lobbying the government on?
It's a very tense and always sensitive. These issues are incredibly sensitive, not just within Rwanda, but the region as a whole, because what happens in one country affects other countries and relations. That's why we've taken the grassroots approach to work with local people at that local level, rather than engaging with state actors as much. So we want to bring these local people together to discuss issues and propose their own solutions and give them a voice and also share their opinions with a broader audience, more so than engaging with maybe the elites or the decision makers. because of the context that we operate in, and that local people are really transforming the country and their societies. And if we empower them and give them a voice, we feel that that's very productive, and that's really where our focus should be.
So what kind of solutions and programs have come out of the talks and the presentations that the organisation has done?
And then we also have the Kigali Business Roundtables. And we recognised that there was very much a need to work on issues to do with the private sector and economic growth, because in a country such as Rwanda, it's stable, it's secure at the moment, and it's got a growing economy. But there are a lot of young people, 80% of the population under 30, that have great ideas, great aspirations, but there's not enough jobs for them. And the economy, to keep on growing, obviously needs this growth in the private sector and needs entrepreneurs. So the focus of this program is to be job creators and not job seekers. So we organise the business roundtables to bring people together, especially young people with an interest in being entrepreneurs, to inform them, to educate them, to provide skills and to provide advice and inspiration from fellow entrepreneurs that are already working and can give them guidance. So we have panel discussions where the people come along, they listen, they ask questions, they engage with a range of speakers. They also hear about how to access finance, which of course for any entrepreneur is one of the biggest challenges, and especially in Rwanda. And we produce then reports on each of our roundtables that can be distributed in Rwanda and to a broader audience, so they can understand the opportunities in Rwanda and also gain that advice and inspiration which is so needed, because we found that many people who want to be entrepreneurs have these wonderful ideas, but they're not sure how to implement them. So the practical implementation is the issue, and there's a knowledge gap. And sometimes there are great government programs that can assist these young people, but they're not aware of them and they're not sure how to apply for them. So it's bringing that accessibility.
Now, oftentimes when nations come out of conflict, the gap between the rich and the poor actually grow. What do you think that the Rwandan government and the Rwandan community needs to do?
I think when you look at Rwanda, there is a development and growth overall. And that people's lives have improved generally, that there's statistical evidence that people's living standards have gone up extremely well. If you look in the rural areas, there's still extreme poverty and there's still a long way to go. But a lot of the government policies are really working hard to raise people's living standards. And I think you don't yet see, and I hope we never do, see the extremes of wealth and poverty. I think there's been a big effort to try to bring everyone standards up, not just a certain elite. Obviously, there are people that have benefited more than others, but I think there's not the extremes that you see in some other countries of Africa, and there's not the levels of corruption that you see in other countries of Africa. And I think people do feel that they have opportunities within their society to better themselves, you know, to get access to education, to get access to decent health care, to get health insurance, to get jobs, to get skills and training. So I think there has been a recognition that that gap is very, very dangerous for a society, and that they have to watch that, and they have to have initiatives that give people opportunities and give people things that allow them to have these aspirations and reach their potential, rather than frustrating people. And this is a lot of the policies to do with helping young entrepreneurs are about that. So young people from rural areas can come to Kigali, get an education, and then get access to finance to start businesses. So I think there is a lot of upward mobility just within our generation that we're seeing.